All right, Romans chapter 6. I want to read a verse there. I want to read a 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 more verses in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy and Romans 7. So let's read here. Romans 6, verse 19 says, "Here I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." There's a progression in sin and there's a progression in holiness and righteousness. There's a growth. There's a process. There's a... an expansion and increase in both sides. There's not just a certain state that you reach and that's it. The iniquity is bottomless. And holiness and righteousness has no limit in height. You're never going to get where you need to be, where you should be. You know, there's always room for more. There's always room to grow more. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. Simple, short little verse. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Unto more ungodliness. So there, that verse tells us the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." There's a point you can get to where when you trample your conscience enough, you won't even feel it anymore. You know how when you burn yourself and you have a scar, it's kind of numb from then on. I want to read one more verse, Romans 7 and verse 13. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid." He had just said, for we know that the law is holy and just. The law is good. And he said, "Was then that which is good made death unto me?" That's what most people think. The law is death. The law puts me to death. The law kills me. The law is, the law is good, the Bible says. "God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Let me get my water. I can't quit coughing here. I've said this a few times recently to people in talking, but I never envisioned the world being like it is now. I was thinking about it, started preaching about 44 years ago, and really studying and trying to learn the Bible and everything. Read a lot, heard a lot of preaching, heard a lot of opinions and a lot of educated guesses about the last days and what all is going to take place. But I never envisioned a world like this. And I don't know anybody else that did either. Nobody saw this coming. What we see now, the iniquity, the absolute beyond. I was telling her, I mentioned a while ago that I was listening to Vance Havner there today. And he probably, what I was listening to, Getting Used to the Dark, he probably preached that 50 or 60 years ago. And he said in that message, he said, the sin that we're seeing now, he was talking about in his time, that time. He said, it's not the same old meanness that we've always had. He said, this is another dimension, another level. He said, sin, he said, it's like the devils of hell have been turned loose. Now, I wonder what he would think now. You know, 50 years ago, this was a different world. There was sin of every kind. But it wasn't like it is now. Don't you see that sin has progressed to something beyond what we knew, what we grew up with? We know that evil men and seducers, we knew they would wax worse and worse. I remember reading that 40 years ago about the last days and the warning from the Word of God that they're going to get worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. And we knew that was coming, but we never imagined that it would be like this. We expected more. Here's what I've thought about. We expected more of the same kind of sin. That's what we expected. I mean, we just expected it to, you know, the sin that we were seeing 40 years ago and the kind of sin that's always been present in every generation. That's what we expected to see from now on. I mean, sin, you know. We expected the drinking, the adultery, the fornication, the pornography. We've just expected it to become more widespread and more common. That's what we expected. But that ain't what we've got, is it? We didn't expect what sin has morphed into in this generation. We didn't expect that. But we should have expected it. I'm just going to say this. If we had studied history under the lens of morality and God's law and took notice of where the road to degeneracy has always led, we'd have been expecting this. I mean, we could have looked at the ruins of Pompeii and figured out where we were headed. We could have looked at the end of the Roman Empire and all of the written history and records that are there telling us what it was like. And we could have seen where we were headed when we started down the same road. So we should have seen this coming. But we didn't. We've always had this notion that people were different in previous generations. Somehow we separate ourselves from those people that lived before us. In every way, we think they were more ignorant, they were more less experienced, they just didn't know what we know. No wonder they've gotten such a shape. And we just don't consider them the same kind of humans that we are. We think of them as some other kind of race of people or something. But human nature never changes. Doesn't matter what generation, what era, doesn't matter what millennia, it's always the same when it comes to moral depravity and degeneration and the road to hell and destruction. We've always assumed that human nature somehow worked differently in previous times. You hearing me? But it didn't. It doesn't now. It won't in the future. Human nature is the same. And the road that sin takes you down is the same road for the last 6,000 years. It goes to the same place. It ends the same way. We just didn't look closely enough. If we had, we could have seen the same things in the ancient ruins of wicked civilizations that we see now in ours. They're digging up stuff everywhere, all over the world, all the time. And you know, for the last 150 years or so, a lot of it they kept hidden because it was so profane. And it was pornography and every perverted thing you can think of with their little statues and their paintings and their drawings and carvings and sculptures. And they kept it hid away because it was too indecent for people to look at. Now think about that. Why didn't somebody say, how did them people end up like that? Why don't we take a closer look and see what got them in such a shape that it destroyed them? And let's take heed. No, didn't even do it in the churches. They didn't do it in the Bible colleges where they could have taught young preachers and warned them and taught them how to warn the people about where sin's going to take us. But nobody did. Everybody was too caught up in all the cultural changes and all the excitement of how we were just going forward and everything was so much better. We've not been spiritually minded enough to realize what kind of monstrosity sin really is. We've been focused on the most common vices and addictions and indulgences and considered sin no more than those things. Drinking, cussing, smoking, whoring. Those are the sins that's what sin is. That's all sin is. Really. That's how shallow-minded everybody's been. Right. They don't think of sin any deeper than that, any farther than that. We've been focused on those vices. We've been focused on the ripples and disturbances on the top of the water without considering their cause that was hidden from our sight. If you're swimming in the ocean and you've seen the water all turbulent, just, 20 feet away from you, would you wonder what was making that disturbance? Yeah. Or would you just say, well, I better move away from here. The water's getting kind of rough over there. If you're in a ship on the ocean and the waves start coming up, a hurricane on the ocean stirs it up for a long ways. Before you can ever see the hurricane or know that it's there, the water's rough. It's telling you that there's something real dangerous out of your sight. And that's all these vices and indulgences and addictions and all of that. That's what they are. They're the ripples on top of the water. Sin's way deeper than that. But we just do like the doctors and treat the symptoms and not the cure. We just worry about the symptoms. All we want to do is feel better. Just not have to look at it. Not see it. If it all looks good, then we can imagine that we're okay. We've been far too shallow in our estimation of sin and its consequences. And even more in our understanding about where sin leads and what comes next. Do you ever think about that? What's coming next? Where do we go from here? What's the next step in this process of degeneration? Sin morphs and mutates as it progresses. We expect the same sin simply because, we accept them to simply become more common and widespread and for more people to become involved in the same sins. And listen, that is what happens first. But there's more that happens when that cup gets full. There's more that happens. You don't just keep getting everybody on board with the same sin. There's something else going to happen. And as the sins of fornication and adultery and drunkenness get more widespread and common, they lose their novelty and excitement. That's what's happened.
Yes.
Not too many decades ago, there was morality. There was boundaries on all of the, anything to do with sexuality or anything like that. There were strict boundaries in our society, in the world. There are a few exceptions in certain countries, like there always has been. But there were boundaries. They took the boundaries away. That's what all the hippies and all of that was all about, see? And not just them, but the whole cultural shift that happened back then. Took away all the untied all the knots. Loosed all the moorings and let everything run with the wind. And so that's the pillar of morality. Y'all understand that? That matter right there. this thing, male and female, between men and women, that is the morality involved in that is the pillar of all morality. When you knock that down and take that away, then everything's... Who is to say now what is right and wrong? How can they say that, you know, if they decree that it's all right to just live together and not get married, then how can they say that it's wrong to have two wives if you want to? Or a dozen wives if you want to? Or live ever how you want to? The government encourages living together and not getting married. And you know they do. Every policy, everything, you lose your money. You get more money, you're more secure if you just live together and don't get married. The government will pay for everything for you. Get married, you lose it all. And when they come up with that, who made them the moral authority to decree what is okay and what's not? Everything is adrift. And so the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye can never be satisfied. So the mind and eyes turn elsewhere. That's what happens. Sin morphs. It mutates into something that we're not expecting. That's what I'm saying to you. Isn't that what's happened? Does anybody else see that? I mean, do you stand in awe at the things that are going on in this world now? Does it kind of shock you at the things like what we were talking about that happened out in Springfield recently here, you know? What a mess. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, they had this men's meeting out there and they had what amounted to a male stripper at their men's meeting. I mean, a religious meeting. I mean, Christian men's meeting. And one man got up and said it was a spirit of Jezebel and it was a bunch of wickedness, and they kicked him out. Well, let me tell y'all something. Those people are not Christians. They are idolaters.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you need to get that in your crawl some way. You need to understand that that is the absolute truth. You're not looking at weak Christians, Christians that just don't understand and need some education and all of that. No, they're wicked idolaters. And I'm not listening to nothing that they've got to say. I don't care what they've got to teach or say or what good things they've... I'm not going to have anything. Would Elijah have anything to do with the prophets of Baal? Jezebel's hired prophets? Would he cooperate with them in any way? Did he seek their counsel, their wisdom? Did he listen to anything they had to say? Show me anybody in the Bible that was of God that ever did listen to those kind of people. That's the time we're living in. That, see, sin has morphed everything into something else. And we're still hanging on here trying to believe that these kind of people are really Christians. They're just like us. They believe in Jesus like we do, but they're just, you know, they got these different ideas and all of that. No! There's much idolaters as those prophets of Baal were. And if you study your Bible and you study history, you can find out it's as clear as day that they had the same kind of moral issues as they do now. The prophets of Baal were just like the prophets nowadays. They had the same moral differences that those people have with our kind of people now. Yes, they were immoral. Do you know that's the difference in idolatry and real Christianity? It's the morals.
Yes, sir.
You can always tell by that.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's been preached so long that we're just all sinners and we can't help it and that's all we are. And anybody that says any different is just a liar and deceived. And so now The norm they expected is for your morals to be very low or non-existent as a Christian. Who can help it? And idolatry has filled all the churches, filled everybody's minds. Nobody can discern the difference and afraid to say anything. What would Elijah the prophet have done at a meeting like that? What was the first thing Gideon did? I mean, the problem is the Midianites, but what did Gideon do first? He cut down the groves of the idolaters, his father, his own fathers. In the night, when I turned, cut them all down. The trees they were worshiping. They loved trees. That's what the groves were. They worshiped Baal and the groves. And always there was a feminine goddess in on it too. Ashtaroth, the sex goddess. Immoral. It was all involved. And they didn't call, you know, they called Baal the Lord. Study your Bible. They called him the Lord. The same name as they used for Jehovah. They call Baal the same thing. Just like they do now with Jesus. They were idolaters. These are idolaters today. That's what sin has done. And people can't tell the difference. Refuse to tell the difference because it puts you, it causes you to be separated. Sin is insanity, and it's never a matter of reason. You don't ever have a good reason for sinning. No matter how big the sin is or how little the sin is, if you want to calculate it that way. Sin is never a matter of reason. It never makes sense. You never reason it out. Now in your mind, it makes sense to you as you're reasoning it out and justifying yourself because you're believing things that are not true. See, sin is never a matter of reason. Sin is always a transgression against truth or a misappropriation and misapplication of truth. Sin always involves that. You got to do violence to the truth, to sin. Every sin begins with a lie. I've told you that over and over. So sin never makes sense. And it's always a willful step into the darkness, casting aside all concerns and warnings and trampling the conscience. Now that's the first step into sin. You do all that. It's necessary for you to violate your conscience, to violate the truth, that's the way it happens. And once that's done, the first time, there's a corridor, if you want to say it, opened in your soul that leads to the depths of depravity and degeneracy and to hell itself. Yes. There's something that's opened up in your soul it's a highway to hell. Mm-hmm. You've opened the door to the devil. And you've shut off the light to your soul. Once that's done, the old saying that we've heard all of our lives, you know about how sin will take you farther than you intended to go. It'll keep you longer than you intended to stay. And it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. It happens that way. Every slobbering drunk that's lost everything in his life, and I've known a few of them. Yeah. It started with one innocent drink. Do you ever think about that? Oh, Richard Dill, there was a first time that he put a bottle to his mouth. One night, one day, somewhere, somebody else was involved, no doubt. But there was a first time for him to do that. And I saw the result of years of that later. We saw what it did to a man and a family. He never meant for that to happen. I guarantee you, the first time he took that bottle, he said, I'm going to be a slobbering drunk. My family's going to hate me. I'm going to lose everything I've got in life and live in a tent in the woods. Now, that's not what he had in mind. Every person who's died of a drug overdose started with just a curious desire to see what it was like, with no intention of diving to the bottom. You ever look at the mug shots of these meth heads? The progression. It'll make you weep. You say, why did they do it? It's what I just told you. Sin never makes sense. It's never done according to reason, sound reasoning. It's a lie introduced to your reasoning. And you justify it in order to indulge yourself. And once you do that, the lights go out.
True.
Your thinking is messed up. Every sexual pervert started by having his mind polluted by looking at pornography. Or by being talked to about it by someone else. I saw it by the time I was in seventh grade in school. I mean, I'm talking about 60 years ago nearly. What do you think these kids? I mean, all you got to do is read a little bit, and it's true. I believe this stuff, you know, that a child by 9 years old has seen it, has been exposed to it. You say, oh, it don't matter, it don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Changes their life. Changes the way their mind thinks. Changes the way they look at other people and things.
Yeah.
Not only these flagship sins that we talk about, but the more common sins of hatefulness and envy and talebearing and pride and lying all happen the same way and progress into bitterness and wretchedness of soul and murder and things like that. All that, it progresses. That's my whole thing here tonight. Sin don't just stay on the same level. You don't just jump in. It's not like a swimming pool that you just jump in and you can swim around for a while and then get out if you want to. It is not like that. It's like a whirlpool that you can't see. It's like a riptide that gets you and carries you out to sea. And there ain't a thing you can do about it and nobody can save you. It progresses into a monster that you didn't see. It does that on an individual basis. But it does that in a family. It does it in a nation. It can do that in a church too. Sin just never stays the same. And it never stays on the same level. 2 Timothy 3:13. We read this a while ago. I'm going to read it again. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Wax worse and worse. Until what? Until how far? How far does it go? Well, sin starts as insanity and becomes utter madness. And then brings forth death. That's what happens. Sin brings forth death. Sin, when it is finished. Well, when is it finished? What is that point when it's finished? Did you ever think about that? How do we know? How can we recognize that? How can we see that coming when sin is finished? It brings forth death. The first step into sin is always a step away from the truth. You ought to shiver and shake when you see people step away from the truth, no matter what. Well, it's just a difference of opinion. I just don't see it that way. I don't see anything wrong with this or that or the other. And I don't see why that's so bad. Maybe you don't see. Maybe that's the problem.
Yes.
Do you ever think about that?
That's true.
Why would somebody especially if they're older and been living for God for years and they have understanding, why would they think it's wrong and you think it's okay? Are they just a nutcase? Are they just obsessed with things? Is there a possibility that they might see something you don't see? I think about this. You know, I said a while ago that everybody, we weren't wise enough. We were too shallow in our thinking and all that. But then I think, who would have listened if somebody did stand up back then and say, this is where it's going to lead to? Who would have listened? That's the way it is. That's human nature. It's a runaway train. And you can't stop it. People won't listen. You can stand and say, the bridge is out. And they say, shut up and get out of the way. The first step into sin is always a step away from truth. And every sin begins with a lie. And from that point, the lie becomes the basis for discerning truth. Are you listening to me? Yes. Once you believe a lie, then you don't think right anymore.
That's right.
You're not reasoning right because you're reasoning from false information. Your moral compass has been corrupted and now shows good and evil, good as evil and evil as good. Your north switched to south and your south switched to north. Your compass. When you believe the lie, then your compass is all messed up. It's upside down. And it's going to tell you north is south and south is north. And you're going to get lost. Following this course leads rapidly down the road of degeneracy to depravity of the mind and the heart and the soul and the will. The will. You got a will. That's how you navigate through life. You're constantly making choices. And when your compass is messed up and you've lost all your bearings, and you still think you're good. Do you ever get lost when you're traveling somewhere? And drive for miles and miles thinking you're on the right road. And suddenly you find out you're on the wrong road. That's the way this thing works. By the time you realize you're on the wrong road, you're going to be in such a mess. And sin is going to have progressed so much that that's what happens to people. And they're lost. They're unreachable. Why is it so hard to get people to come to church and listen and try to seek for God? To sit still long enough for God to deal with them. Why is it so hard? Looks like people would be flocking in to hear something nowadays. If there was any place to hear it. But boy, they're not, are they? Try to talk to them. Try to talk some sense into them. He ain't going to talk sense into them. What do? It's a short trip to a state of madness from there. When your mind and your heart and your will are corrupted and depraved, it's a short trip to madness. Madness, the dictionary says, is distraction, a state of disordered reason or intellect. You get that? Your mind is shot, messed up, scrambled. Madness is when you ain't thinking right at all. Does that word describe the world we're living in? People can't, gender is a feeling. It's a thing you can pretend, whatever, you know. You can be whatever you want to be. Doesn't matter what you were born as. Doesn't matter about the DNA, chromosomes. It doesn't matter about all the other differences. Physically, emotionally, everything. You can just pretend to be the one you want. And everybody's got to pretend with you. Now, does that sound like madness? Disordered intellect? And disordered reason, in which the patient raves or is furious. If you ever watched any of these guys like Ben Shapiro, is that his name? Shapiro. And these, most of the time it's women that are standing up over abortion or gender or something else. And are any of them, how is it, do they appear most of the time calm and together when they're talking to him? What are they doing? Raving. They're beside themselves. Remember that woman standing in the street screaming, you know, remember that? She was mad. She was just so, she didn't know what to do. She was so in disagreement with everything. And rave. It's a state of disordered intellect or reason in which the patient, it raves and is furious. That's madness. What do drug heads do? What do sodomites do? They're mad. They're mad. Madness. Extreme folly, headstrong passion, and rashness that act in opposition to reason, as the madness of a mob. It's the same thing in a person as it is in a mob. You know, mob mentality. Everybody loses their minds. A mob. They'll tear a person to pieces, literally. They lose their minds. They lose their reason. The facts go out the door. It's all emotion and madness. In this state of mind and heart, we can see no evil in anything except those who would call anything evil and wicked. Or anybody make a difference between the two. Do you understand what I'm saying? In that state of mind, they don't see anything wrong with anything unless it's you telling them that something's wrong that they're doing. Again, Vance Havner today, he quoted Finney, which you'll find those older preachers doing. The younger preachers now don't, because they've been told that Finney was the author of Easy Believism and that it's his fault all this stuff that's happened, which is the farthest thing from the truth. It shows the ignorance of people and the dishonesty of their hearts that they will not even... It shows that they are willingly ignorant because they have not read. They've not read what he said. They've read what somebody said he said. If they knew any, if they were honest, they wouldn't be able to say that stuff. Anyway, Vance Havner said, Finney preached, and I know this because I read this sermon by him, but he said, how to preach so that nobody gets converted. And one of the points was, don't name sin. Just preach against sin in general terms. And he said, everybody will be for you and everybody will back you. As long as you don't name anything, just preach against sin. Everybody will say, amen. They'll like it. But when you name sin, then they'll get mad at you and they'll try to hurt you or they'll leave or they'll do something. Or they might get saved. But he said one thing for sure, they'll never get saved if you don't name their sin. He said the woman at the well didn't go back to the city and tell them all about the water of life. She didn't go back and tell them about which was the best place to worship at. She went back and told them, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. All things I ever did. He's right. And that's the same thing here. What we're seeing now, that's what we're seeing now in, that they call the cancel culture. They think evil is good and good is evil. And they rant and rave at you. Anybody that differs with anything. Canceling everything out that's good. They didn't cancel out Hitler, did they? They didn't cancel out Stalin. They haven't canceled out any of the evil people through history that I know of. The only ones they're canceling are people like Robert E. Lee and George Washington and Jesus Christ. So this is what we're seeing in this gender nonsense. It's madness. There's no other word to describe it than madness. I never saw this coming. I mean, the homosexuality and all of that and all of the immorality in every area. But, you know, I just never dreamed that people could be so absolutely nuts. And you know, there's always going to be people that are off their rockers. But this has come mainly. It's encoded in law now. I mean, they can go to court and win with this madness. People get elected by backing this madness. It's worse than you think. It's worse than we think. We look at it and laugh. It's time to quit laughing. What's next? Well, what naturally comes next? And when you go to the most degenerate societies on earth, cultures, jungle people, where are they living? What do they do? They've got all of this. The genders are indistinguishable just about. They're naked most of the time. They're immoral as they can be. They're worse than animals. And they're cannibals. And all they live for is to kill each other and eat each other. This is what we're seeing in all what all this anti-Semitism. Are y'all kind of watching the world and seeing what's going on? It's not just a little place over there. It's not just the Arabs now. I mean, we're having to clear out the college campuses like they did back in the Vietnam War because of their protesting against the Jews. Having to get the National Guard out to protect the Jews in this country. The whole world hates Israel. Why? What have they done? Well, they stole the land. The Jews were in that land over 3,000 years ago. Abraham was there way before that. Jesus was a Jew. Why does the world hate Israel? Because they hate God. There's no other reason. No other reason. So where do we go from here? I mean, who saw this coming? It's always been politically advantageous to back the Jews in this country, to back Israel. Where are we at now? They're all warning that Biden's going to lose because of him backing the Jews. Well, no, it's... So that's why he's crawfishing and everything. You know, he's a politician. Anything to get elected. He would sell us out to the butchers if it need be to win. Any of them would. A look at human history will tell us that the madness is followed closely by the end of that people or civilization. What do you think it was like in Noah's day? When Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, we've always had this concept in our minds of what it was like in Noah's day. And we've always compared it to the contemporary times that we're living in, the current events and all that. We say, well, it's just like it was in Noah's day. No, I think we're getting closer, no doubt about that. But what did Noah see? What was the world like in Noah's day? Well, they corrupted his way in all the earth. Just what they're doing now.
Yes, sir.
Sin had come full bloom, full flower, and the fruit. I mean, it was finished when the rain came and drowned the whole world. We're close to the end of the line. No matter how you want to look at things or what your doctrine is concerning the coming of the Lord or the end of the world, we're getting close to the end of the line. We are. My advice to you and everybody else that hears it is this. You better be drawn nigh to God. You better be watching out for your own soul and those around you. Better perk up and get your spiritual ears and eyes open about what's going on around you. It ain't no joke no more. You know, the occult and all of the wickedness and everything. We're in a time of high spiritual activity. Believe me, buddy. The devil has been turned loose on this world. He has got control. There's never been evil like this since the days of Noah. No. Sin has progressed. It's come into something else. We are in a different time. And so you need to perk up and pay attention. Yes. It ain't the same old game we've always played. And we can't just lollygag through life, just going from one pleasure to another while everything burns down around us and the devil drags our kids off to hell. Better be doing battle. Better be praying. You better be seeking God. You better be seeking wisdom and truth and understanding. Not from idolaters that are preaching on the internet and all over everywhere else. You better get in this book.
Yes, sir.
And you better seek it out of the old wells and not these city water mains they've got now. If you understand what I mean. There's not much to be found, let me tell you. To me, and I don't know, I don't feel like I'm some super Christian or anything, but I just know that it's always been this way with me since I've been saved. I can tell the truth when I hear it. I can tell the difference in somebody that's preaching with the anointing of God and somebody that's just faking it. I can tell the difference. It's just like a drink of water. I can name you the preachers that I've listened to through the years, and it was that way. And I go try to find preaching and listen to others, you know, because I feel like I ought to and not just get holed up by myself. So I need to know, need to try. And man, it's such a disappointment. I can't stand it. I don't know how people can stand to sit in church and listen to that monotone drawl and just not saying nothing. The monotone voice ain't so bad if they're saying something.
Right.
I've heard monotone preachers that I can sit and listen to for 2 hours straight. Not my mind don't drift because they're saying something. But just not say nothing. You need preaching and you need good preaching. Look for it. You need all the help you can get. Everybody'd be a lot more lively tonight if you'd been listening to some preaching today instead of all the cares of life. Amen. We'll stand. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for your word. Pray it'd be a help to us and to all these folks. I pray it'd help us and strengthen us, enlighten us. Lord, I pray it'd get our attention and we could wake up and see where we're at here in this thing. Lord, we wouldn't wait too late before we get busy and take seriously the times that we're living in. Please give us wisdom, Lord. It's so easy to be deceived in these times because the lie abounds everywhere. Truth is falling in the streets. Truly it is. and judgment's turned around backwards. And everything we see is a lie or it's fake and we don't know what to believe anywhere. But we've still got the book right here, this book that we know has not changed, and it's still it has everything we need to know. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to avail ourselves of it more. Please protect these children and us, Lord, in this evil time. Go with us now and get us home safely, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.